I want you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to welcome all of you to our service today. Appreciate y'all being here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I want us to read the first two verses in this chapter. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. In doctrine. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Thank you that we're alive and healthy enough that we can be in church. I thank you, Father, for those that are here. And Lord, most of all, we welcome your presence here with us today. And Lord, I pray that you would help me in these next moments to say the things that you won't say it. I pray that you would help each one of us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. And most of all, God, I pray you would give us the grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And Lord, I thank you for coming into this world and dying on a cross for our sins so that it could be well with our soul. We give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am about to preach the message that some of you have been waiting to hear for a long time. And that's my last one. Lord willing, I'll be back tonight for one more Bible study. But this will be my last official sermon here at New Hope Baptist Church. And I've given a lot of thought as to what I needed to say on this occasion. And I decided that I simply need to say what I've been saying from the very beginning. Through 20 years of being at this church, through the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the people who liked it and the people who didn't, the people that have come, the people that have gone, the ones that have liked me and those that haven't liked me, I have never deviated from the truth of God's word. And if God will give me grace, I'm not going to change now, and I'm not going to change any time in the future, irregardless of who likes me or doesn't like me. So here in the next few minutes, what I'm going to do, Lord willing, is one of the three things that Paul told Timothy to do when he preached the word. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6, we learn that Paul's life on earth was drawing to a close. He says in the verse, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." The departure he's talking about is death. Like in Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says to depart and be with Christ is far better. So Paul understood that his time on earth was short. And because of that, he decided to give Timothy, his own son in the faith, one final charge. And that charge is seen in the verses that we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Look there at those verses with me once again and notice Paul says, I charge thee. A charge is like a command. It's to be entrusted with a responsibility or duty or an obligation. And he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And here's the charge, verse number 2. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Paul's final charge to Timothy was to preach the word of God. And then in verses 3 and 4, he told Timothy why he needed to preach the word of God. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I am of the opinion that the time has come. I believe that most saved people, I'm not even talking about unsaved people, I believe most saved people in our churches now will no longer endure sound Bible doctrine. What they are doing now is, as Paul says in verse number 3, heaping to themselves. Notice that word, heap. That means they're just piling up one teacher after another that will scratch their itching ears. That's what's going on in Christianity throughout this country right now. They're heaping up these limp-wristed, liberal, spaghetti-spined, feminine-acting teachers that will scratch their itching ears. Not men that'll stand and tell the truth from the Word of God, but people that will tell them what they want to be told. And it's not just men. If you turn on the television now to these so-called Christian channels, you see just as many, if not more, women pastors and teachers now standing up in front of congregations. And these women are no more qualified to be in that position than a German goat. And that's the honest to God truth. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they're a female. It has everything to do with the fact that God says they're not qualified to be in that position. That's the problem with that. But that's the trend in Christianity now. Let's just heap up these people that'll tell us what we want to be told instead of somebody that'll take a Bible and tell us the truth from the Word of God. And notice it says in verse number 4, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's where we are right now. People want to hear a lie instead of the truth. But back up in verse number 2. That's the hardest part of the message, so y'all can calm down. Everything else will be gravy from here on out. Verse number 2, I want you to notice that Paul told Timothy. He said, when you preach the word, there's three things you need to do. Y'all see it there in the verse? He says, when you preach the word, you need to reprove, you need to rebuke, and you need to exhort. I want to do the third of those three things this morning. I'm going to give you a final exhortation. A final exhortation. To begin with, I want to exhort you as saved people to love. I want to exhort you to love. Number one, I want to exhort you to love the Lord. There was a time when Jesus was here on this earth and a person approached him and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. This fellow goes on to say that he's kept all the commandments. And then there's this other fellow that comes to the Lord later on and he says, which is the greatest commandment of all the commandments that you have in the Bible? Y'all remember what Jesus said to him? He said, the first and greatest commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The number one commandment above all others is to love God. Amen. That means that the number one thing for you in your life as a saved person is to love the Lord. Above everything, you are to love Him supremely. He said, love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, with your whole being. Love Him supremely is what Jesus said. That is the number one thing for you in your life as a Christian. Nothing, I'm just telling you what Jesus said, nothing is more important than that for you in your life. So I exhort you, first of all, to love the Lord. Number two, I exhort you to love one another. To love one another. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Let it keep on going. And one thing that I have loved about this church through the years is the closeness that there seems to be amongst the members of this church. It seems to me, I have been wrong before, but it seems to me that there is a genuine love that exists amongst the members of this church right here. That is a wonderful thing. A wonderful quality for any church to have is something that honors the Lord, I can promise you. And it's something that can't be said in a lot of churches you go to. There are a lot of churches today where there's a whole lot of fighting and fussing and bickering and people mad and holding grudges and hating one another. Hey, that doesn't honor the Lord. And I exhort you to let the brotherly love continue that I have seen here all these years that I've been in this church. Let it keep on going. Just keep loving one another. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." In John chapter 15 and verse number 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." In John 13, 35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I exhort you to love the Lord more than anything and more than anyone. Love Him supremely, but then I also exhort you to love one another. Secondly, this morning I want to say this. I exhort you to lean. Not only to love, but to lean. The book of Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That is Solomon's way of saying you don't need to lean on yourself, you need to lean on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Put your complete and total confidence and trust in Him. That's the way we need to live every day as Christians, leaning on the Lord. Back many years ago, and I don't actually know how many years, I don't know, I can't remember. I don't know if it came out when I was young or if it was a song that came out way before I was even born. I don't know. But there is a song that came out called "Lean On Me." Y'all remember that song? Anybody in here have any idea when that song came out? Anybody have? Okay. Well, y'all can't remember any better than I can. Yeah, amen. That's right. "Lean On Me." This is just a little excerpt from that song. It says, "Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on." The greatest friend that you have or ever will have is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest friend. And I'm telling you this morning, you can lean on Him, not just when you're weak, you can lean on Him anytime. And that's exactly what He wants you to do. We sing a song in our hymnal called "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." And that's how we need to live every day, with our trust completely in Him, leaning on Him. Listen, His shoulders are big enough to carry any burden that you'll ever have in your life. The Bible says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, for He shall sustain thee." The Bible says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Whatever problem you got now, whatever problem you might have in the future, I'm telling you, I'm exhorting you, don't lean on yourself. Don't try to carry that burden around on your own. Don't try to handle it and take care of it yourself. Just take whatever it is, now or any time in the future, and put it on Him. Just live every day leaning on your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I exhort you to love. I exhort you to lean. Number three, I exhort you to labor, to labor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 9, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Now when Paul says we labor, he's talking about spiritual labor. He's talking about laboring for the Lord. He says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." I exhort you this morning to labor for the Lord. Don't sit idly by doing nothing. The time is short. That's what the Bible says. The time is short. None of us have any idea how much longer we have on this earth. Paul had some idea. He said, "Hey, my departure is at hand." But none of us know when it is we're going to leave this world down here. For some, it could be a lot sooner than we think. We don't know. So let's don't sit idly by doing nothing. And neither should we allow ourselves to spend our days in trivial matters that do not matter in eternity. That's the thing that I see so many of us Christians doing now, is getting bogged down in the temporal things of this life that do not matter in eternity. So many Christians are worried about the here and now. You need to have your eyesight beyond this world, because according to the Bible, one day you're going to leave this world and stand before Jesus Christ and give account of yourself to Him. Don't waste your days. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the best years of your life. We got some young people still in this church. Some young people. Don't waste the best years of your life on stuff that doesn't matter. Get busy for God and stay busy for God. That's the exhortation I give you. I had people question me in the past about getting into the ministry and the Lord's service when I was young. I was about 20 years old when I rededicated my life and really got serious about the things of God. Started preaching very on, and people were like, "Do you ever regret the fact that you wasted all of those young years and what we deemed to be the best years of our life going to church and serving God and things like that?" I said, "Absolutely not." I said, "The only regret I have is I didn't do it sooner than I did." I still stand by that today. I just wish I'd have served Him sooner than I started serving Him. I exhort you to labor for Him. There's a song we sing. It says, "Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun." We sing one that says, "Work, for the night is coming." We sing another one that says, "We'll work till Jesus comes." Let's keep on working, amen? Especially when it comes to the matter of winning souls. Man, that's one of the greatest labors you can do for the Lord, is trying to help people that are lost get saved. That's one of the greatest things you can do as a Christian. And it's not time to slack up. It's not time to let up. Man, it's time to put the pedal to the metal. Folks are dying every day without Jesus Christ and going out into eternity. It's not time for us to sit back and take it easy. Man, it's time to get in and get going and do something for Jesus Christ while we can. So I exhort you to labor for the Lord. Next, I exhort you to learn. To learn. Somebody told me the other day, you're never too old to stop learning. My exhortation to you, no matter what your age is to always be a learner, to learn as much as you possibly can from the Word of God. From day one, I have put emphasis on the value and the importance of the Bible. I started out that way, and if God will help me, I'm going to go out that way. No matter where I end up, whatever, I'm going to keep telling people to love this blessed old book right here, to stay in this book, to study the Bible, to search the Scripture, to read the Scripture, to memorize the Scripture, to meditate on the Scripture. Just stay in God's book, no matter what. Don't let anything pull you away from the Bible. Don't let anything or anyone pull you away. Make the Word of God a priority in your life. By all means, make the Word of God a priority in this church right here. Amen. Listen, I know I'm not the pastor here anymore. I know I'm on my way out, but I'm going to say one more thing before I leave this church here. And if you don't like me for it, oh well, you just ain't going to like me for it. I'm saying to everybody in here, don't you let some egg-sucking liberal that don't believe the Bible disgrace me and disgrace God and disgrace this church by pastoring this church right here. This church believes a King James Bible. That's what it believes, or either y'all been lying to me the whole 20 years I've been here. And listen, it's not time to stop believing the King James Bible, amen? And there's plenty of guys out there that'll come and see this nice facility and the nice offering you're going to give them and the nice salary you're going to give them and everything that you got to offer here, and they'll come in and they'll take this church and they'll lead you away from the Bible if you let them. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on. If by some chance, and I pray to God it never happens, this church elects a man that doesn't believe the Bible, y'all get out of it. Run for your life. Go to another church. Don't waste not one more second in this church if they get a pastor here that does not believe the Word of God. That's my exhortation to you. And I've said all I'm going to say about that. Number five, I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to exhort you to let. The word let, L-E-T. Let the Lord have complete control of your life. I exhort you. Let the Lord have complete control of your life. Don't just let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your Lord. Let Him be the master of your life. The thing you see so often is these people that want some fire insurance. They want to get saved because they don't want to go to hell, and that's a great reason to get saved, amen? It's a great reason to get saved. But that's all a lot of people want. They just want some fire insurance. I just don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to live like I want to. I just don't want to go to hell when I die. So they want to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And if a person comes to the Lord genuinely believing on Him with all of their heart, trusting in what He did for them, He'll save them because He's a man of His word, amen? And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But listen, don't be satisfied with Him just being your Savior. He deserves more than that, doesn't He? He's earned the right. He's earned the right by virtue of the fact that, number one, He has created you. And number two, He has sustained you and given you life. And number three, He died on a cross in your place and shed His blood so that you could be saved. He has earned the right to have control of your life. It is blasphemous for any Christian to think they have a right to be in control of their life. You don't have that right. The Bible says this. The Bible says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You know who you belong to this morning if you're saved? You don't belong to yourself anymore. You're His property. He bought you with His precious blood. You belong to Him. So every area of your life should be under His control. Let Him be the Lord. This is what us saved people need to do if we haven't done it already. We need to wave the white flag of surrender. Let Him call the shots and be in charge. And I can tell you, your life will never be better than when Jesus Christ has absolute control of your life. Never be better. And I speak this from experience. There's been times along the way where I've tried to control certain areas of my life. Y'all ever done that before? Think maybe that we know more than God, or that we can handle our lives better than Him. Or maybe it's just that we're afraid He's going to take our lives in a direction that we don't necessarily want to go. For whatever reason, there's been times when I've tried to control certain areas of my life because I just wanted to be in control of that. Listen, the only way your life will be everything that it can be is to let the Lord Jesus Christ have absolute control of every single area. Any area where you hold back, say, Lord, I give you this, I give you this, I give you this, but I'm going to hang on to that for a while. That's just another area or a area of your life where you're going to be miserable. You're never going to be happy. You're always going to be limited. That's a spot where you're never going to be able to make progress in your life. You can't make that progress and move forward until you relinquish control and let the Lord be in charge. So I exhort you to let the Lord have complete control of your life. Now, I'm not saying things to you this morning that I haven't said the whole time I've been here, am I? Said this the whole time I've been here at this church. I want to exhort you now to lay aside. To lay aside. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight. You know what a weight is? Why does he say lay aside every weight? A weight is something that holds you down, doesn't it? It just holds you down. If it doesn't completely stop you, it makes moving forward much more difficult, and it makes things take a whole lot longer. That's what a weight does. And that's something that the Lord says you need to lay aside. Is there something in your life this morning that's holding you down? That's keeping you from making progress in your life spiritually? That's keeping you from moving forward at the pace you could be moving forward? And it's not necessarily something that's a sin. That's why he says in the verse, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. A weight isn't necessarily a sin. Now, it can be a sin, but it's not necessarily a sin. A weight is something that simply holds you down, that holds you back, that keeps you from moving forward and making the progress that you need to make in your life spiritually. Is there anything like that in your life this morning? Just be honest with yourself. You got some weights you need to lay aside today? Have y'all ever noticed those people that run in races? I'm talking about joggers that run, either they run a short race around a track or maybe they run a marathon, whatever the case. Have you ever noticed how little they have on? Y'all ever notice that? I mean, they got on just barely enough clothes to keep them covered. That's all they got on. And have you ever noticed this? I don't care if you're talking about people that's got on shorts or they got on spandex or whatever it is. Have you ever noticed that there's no pockets in any of it? Have you ever noticed that? There's no pockets. You know why they don't have pockets? Because they don't need anything to weigh them down. That's what weights do. They slow you down. They hold you back. They keep you from being able to move forward like you need to at the pace you need to. A lot of Christians today that are bogged down in a place they've been a long time. They could be moving forward. They need to be moving forward, but they got stuff in their life that's holding them back. Lay that stuff aside. You'll never regret it. Here's what I promise you. If the day comes that you do lay it aside and start moving forward, you know what you will regret? You won't regret the fact that you laid it aside. You'll be like me. You'll regret the fact that you didn't lay it aside sooner. Because when you start moving forward and seeing how much better your life is, you'll be grateful to God and wish that you'd have done that before you did. Lay aside those weights. And, he says, and the sin. You got some sin in your life today that's holding you back? You know what it is. The Lord's dealt with you about it a lot of times. You got some sin there. You know it's not right. You know it's just constantly there, cropping up, holding you back. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time to lay that aside? To quit holding on to that sin? To quit fooling with something that's only going to work death in your life? Y'all know that's what sin does, right? The wages of sin is not life. The wages of sin is death. All that sin that you're holding on to is doing is killing you. That's all it's doing. Lay it aside. Lay aside every weight and every sin that is besetting you. Here's the last thing. The point y'all been waiting on. Final exhortation. I want to exhort you to look. To look. I want you to exhort you to look right over here with me for just a minute on this wall. You'll see what that scripture says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know how I want to go out? I want to go out exhorting you to keep looking for Jesus Christ. Because this is what I know. I know one day He's going to show up. I don't know when He's going to come, but I do know He's going to come. And I know that's the hope that we have as Christians. That's our hope. That's why it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's our hope. Listen, your hope's not in this world today. Your hope is in the return of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your hope is. There's nothing down here. There's nothing. You know, this. You keep hearing people talking about how it's an election year, and I know it is, and I know the election that's coming up is a critical election. But listen, if you honestly think that whoever gets elected is your hope, you are so deceived this morning. There's nobody in politics that's your hope today. And there'll never be anybody in politics that's your hope. There is nothing down here. Man, there's nothing. Listen, folks, that is our hope right there. Jesus Christ coming back. Keep an eye to the sky. Keep looking up. That's what the Bible says. Keep looking up. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Keep looking up and longing for Jesus Christ to come back. What a wonderful day it's going to be when the Lord shows up. Amen. What a day when the Lord comes. I've said it before. I'll say it one last time. There's not a problem you have in your life right now. Not a problem you have in your life right now that the second coming of Jesus Christ won't fix in the twinkling of an eye. Everything would be behind us then. All this mess and garbage and sickness and disease and all the stuff that's going on down here, it'd be left right here. This old body, aren't you tired of these things? Aren't you just sick of them? Just ready to get rid of this old vile body? I'm telling you stuff that's going to happen when Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, these old bodies are going to be left behind. We're going to go up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at that very moment, we're going to be changed into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And forever and ever, we'll be in a glorified body. Man, that sounds good to me. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if he showed up today. Just come today and take us out of this world. That's the hope we have. I exhort you to keep looking up. That song we sing says, just any day now, our Lord is coming. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we come to you again today with grateful hearts. Thankful, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy to us, for your grace, for your salvation. Thank you for dying on the cross to pay for our wretched sins so we could have eternal life as a free gift. Thank you for the hope we have today as your children. Lord, we pray with the Apostle John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Please come back and get us real soon, Lord. We just want to see you and be with you forever. But until that day, I pray you'd give us grace to keep laboring for you, to keep pressing on, to love you, to serve you, to do the things that we know you would have us do, to let you be in complete and absolute control of our lives. Help us, Lord, to lay aside things that are holding us back. Lord, help us to lean on you every day. I ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.